All right, everyone. Welcome to another Vine Group Origin Stories. And I have Mr. Austin here with us, one of the most recent members of Vine Group, but certainly not a newbie to the real estate world. So, Austin, thanks for making some time to chat with me, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. This is going to be a fun conversation here.
So, you know, with all the origin stories we have, a lot of the feedback we typically receive is, hey, you know what? I know that you're a really successful mortgage broker, but I didn't realize your sort of journey or your struggles in some cases. And so kind of going back to that sort of standard narrative, like, you've got a really, really interesting background and you've got a huge bio, which I won't get into, but I kind of want to go all the way back to the beginning, you know, when you were a young, I wouldn't say toddler, let's say you're in elementary school. Like what, yeah. Where was your mind at? Like what was your dreams and ambitions at that time of your life? And what was going on? Where were you living? Help me understand kind of how you got to where you're at and, you know, where you came from then.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I will definitely start off by saying I didn't anticipate where I was going to be today. Honestly, if you were to even ask me 10 years ago, this is probably not the current path that I was going down, right? But to give you guys some background into myself, I guess I get started with actually my parents. They were actually both born and raised in India. Most people don't believe that, right? Okay. Yeah, I'm Chinese for those who are not watching this on video. But my parents are born in India, both poverty line. Dad dropped out of school to help support the family. So typical sort of, tough background growing up. And then they immigrated over to Canada. And then
can I ask Austin, why India? Were they working there or how did they end up in India?
Yeah, their parents were born in India as well, actually.
Oh,
and then prior to that, then they were in China. So that was like two generations ago. Yeah. So we're all of my cousins are still in India. But I mean, them coming down here was more so for a better life. Right. And then they had my sister and I and same sort of story. They had to work multiple jobs to make ends meet. Again, my dad wasn't educated. So like we're talking about minimum wage. Warehouse jobs. And growing up, like that sort of hard work was instilled in me, is to work hard, save money, and then study hard in school and hopefully get a good job, the life that my parents weren't able to live, right? So typical immigrant story there. And when I was in elementary school, what I wanted to do is I wanted to be a dentist. Again, didn't have a lot of money, wanted a lot of money, and doctors, dentists, anyone in the medical field, they would tell you, you know, they live a pretty good lifestyle. But quickly realized that that wasn't really my passion and went into high school and started studying business. To be honest, the only reason why I studied business is I was getting really good grades at it. I found it was pretty easy. So I was like, maybe I'll pursue something down there. And going into university, started doing audit, worked at PwC, Deloitte at consulting, and like these different sort of quote unquote prestigious jobs. But I found that like even following the path that my parents laid out for me and the path that everyone older than me was telling me to, again, like study hard and work good jobs and you'll live a happy life, I wasn't necessarily content with where I was. I didn't really get too much pleasure out of the work I was doing. And so that sort of led me to look for other options outside of just working corporate. So while I was working my first full-time job, I ended up finding real estate investing. Actually, it was first stocks, failed miserably at that, but then I ended up finding real estate investing and decided to go all in on investing. But that was sort of a quick synopsis of my background.
So the real estate investing, how old were you roughly? And like why real estate investing at that time? Were there any mentors or just like some movie you saw or something? Like why that?
Right. Yeah. It was a very popular book I read. I'm sure a lot of the audience already knows it. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I was 23 at the time I picked that book up. I was working my first full-time job coming out of university. Full-time job meaning like this is going to be my career forever now.
Like you had a suit and tie type full-time job?
Suit and tie, yeah. Suit and tie. Okay. And like this is going to be my until I'm 65 years old and retire. Yeah, so I ended up reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad from someone recommended it to me. And it really shifted my mindset. I didn't get any technical knowledge out of it. It's not really a book where you read it and then you magically know how to invest. But it shifted the way I was thinking about things where I was spending money on more consumer-based debt like cars, like fashionable things, et cetera, et cetera. So I almost had to switch my mindset into instead of spending money on liabilities, things that are taking money out of my pocket, I should spend money on assets, things that are going to generate me wealth over the long term, which surprise, surprise, real estate, and also be cash flow positive, meaning it puts money in my pocket every single month. So it pays for me to own that asset. And by growing a portfolio of these assets over time, they'll eventually be paid down unless you want to refi them and continue to buy more. And that's sort of like your retirement plan right there. So it made a lot of sense to me intuitively, but no real estate experience. I didn't know what a listing agent was. I had no idea what a buying agent was. I was completely green to the space. So there's a lot to educate myself on. But nonetheless, even before, and I don't suggest people go out and do this, but I ended up buying my first property without knowing anything, right? Again, like without knowing a listing or buying agent.
Let's go ahead and do it. Just roll the dice.
Yeah. You know what? Like a lot of people get stuck in analysis paralysis. I was the total opposite. I was like, let's just take some action and figure things out as I go. So I had about $40,000 saved. Couldn't buy anything in Toronto, not even parking spot, right? Like these new construction condos, parking spots are 100,000. So I ended up buying my first property in Windsor in 2018, 23 years old. And 2018, and purchased my single family house for $130,000. It's not $130,000 anymore, but that was my first entry point into real estate. And again, I didn't know much. So the reason why I bought that property is because I chose a random realtor. I went on realtor.ca, don't suggest this, by the way, found a property that I liked, called the listing realtor. They said that I sold, but hey, why don't you come down and I'll show you a bunch of properties. And they sort of pressured me to buy something. They said that they spent the entire day showing me all of these properties. Now, which one do I want to put an offer in? And I guess, I thought that's how that process worked, right? So I ended up just buying the cheapest
sales tactic. It's like you walked into a shoe store and they're like, you gotta buy shoes. Like, no, you gotta buy a house. It's kind of wild, but
okay. Yeah, that's the importance of working with professionals and not just any person that you meet. But at that, again, at that point, very green to everything. So just ended up buying the cheapest property. Thought that the house needed a little bit of paint and that would be it. I could rent it out. Yeah, no construction background or anything. Got the offer accepted. Got the inspection done. Everything seemed pretty fine from the inspection report. So decided to waive the conditions. And then now I have to figure things out. At that point, I was like, what did I get myself into? Let me dig down and start networking with people. Let me start educating myself. Let me go on YouTube, head to different events. So I found an event in Windsor, like a local real estate networking event. Went down there, connected with a ton of people, got contacts with contractors. And concurrently at the same time, I was reading books to educate myself. So I wouldn't say life-changing, but it did help me a lot in picking up on the real estate technicalities, is a book called The Book on Investing in Rental Properties by Brandon Turner, A Bigger Pockets. And then, so that was sort of like the Bible of real estate for me. It covered everything from how to buy a good property, strategic renovations, what the BRRRR strategy is, et cetera, et cetera. So read through that. Went for my second walkthrough after networking with people and realized that I bought a property that needed a lot more work than I originally thought. Anyways, decided to make some sacrifices here. Again, I only had about $40,000 saved, which isn't a whole ton, not much room for mistakes. So spent all of that money and then had to put some sweat equity in. So I took vacation days off of work, drove down from Toronto, stayed at Windsor for a couple days, tried my best to paint the house, prep it, do whatever I can to cheapen the labor. And then my contractor started sort of screwing me over, for lack of better words. Had to go and manage that. Had to borrow a little bit of money from my parents, which again, they're blue collar, so it's like tough for me to ask them for money. Had to borrow a little bit of money from my fiance at that time, girlfriend. And I ended up fortunately making things work and wrapping up within 4 months. Bought it for $130,000, put about, I think it was $20,000, $25,000 into it in terms of renovations. And it ended up reappraising at close to $180,000 in about 4 months after the renovations were done. So ended up taking that money out and scaling my portfolio that way. I want to tell people I had the perfect story getting started off, but it was beyond stressful working my full-time job, managing this, having almost no money because it's all being tied up and just scrambling to try to educate myself. That was my introduction to real estate.
You know, I love that story because like I have a lot of clients. We work with a lot of investor type clients that are extremely well prepared. They have lots of savings, lots of access to credit if they need to. They've already been approved. They probably have a really great realtor because we're recommending them. We've already had a conversation and they're still kind of creating that doubt, that analysis paralysis you're talking about. But I think it's interesting that you're kind of like this young guy, you read a few books, super pumped up. You went to a completely different market, bought a property kind of just because, you know, you felt a little pressured and you just kind of made it work, man. I think that experience probably allowed you to be a lot more resilient than some of the clients that are buying stuff almost like on a silver platter. They don't even realize if you've got a really good team, the experience for the most part can be very, very pleasant, you know, minus maybe problem tenants and things like that, but generally like can be very pleasant. So the fact that you had experience kind of, I'm sure the second and the third and so on times allowed you to kind of clean up your process a little. But I love that you had that little bit of a struggle because you realized, okay, you know what? I learned a lot. I know where I can kind of clean up, but I think it's a great way to approach it for some people, you know, if you're kind of really ambitious and you want to figure it out yourself.
Definitely. I think to your point, there's a lot of people that sit down and overanalyze things and that will never really take action. Here's the thing is that there's always risk in any assets. And actually, to this day, while I continue to invest in real estate, I've grown a portfolio of over 25 properties. I think it was like probably 50 units of rental properties. There's still mistakes that I make. There's still things that I learn. There's still headaches that I have to go through the process and figure things out. It doesn't really change on the investing scale. Nothing's going to be perfect. The most you can do is try your best to mitigate risk. But again, there's always going to be risk there and there's always going to be learning lessons. So you can't sit down and wait for the perfect time. You can't sit down and make sure that every risk element is going to be alleviated. It's just, that's not the reality of the world and that's not the reality of any investment. So sooner or later, I mean, obviously educate yourself, build the right power team, connect with the right agents, the right mortgage brokers, lawyers, et cetera, but sooner or later, you're going to have to take action, right? And there's going to be some small hiccups along the way. Nothing's going to go perfectly smoothly and you'll learn from it. That's okay.
And you're, as an entrepreneur, that's kind of the mantra is, you know, Chris, one of my partners always says, you're jumping off the cliff and just building the parachute as you're falling down. So, right. You know, that might not be the risk profile for some people that maybe you're not an entrepreneur, right? Like maybe this isn't right for you, but I love that you did that. But like, just let's fast forward a little bit. You know, you kind of got your feet wet. You got this new property and then you built a really impressive network, the Rise Network. Can you give me kind of a really short, like, how did that happen?
Yeah. So just real quick, as I was growing my portfolio, completing the BRRRR strategy, which is buying these properties, renovating it and refinancing in a short period of time, I was documenting everything on social media, including all of the mistakes and the headaches I was going through. So it was being very transparent with my journey. I got some followers that way. But I found that a lot of these real estate meetups that I was attending to, I felt nervous because a lot of people were very experienced. They were older than me. I was generally the youngest in the room. So I wanted to create a meetup of like young, hungry real estate entrepreneurs like myself, just to talk shop, connect with others who are like-minded. And that meetup started a life of its own. It's grown to be something much bigger than that. It started off having 15, 20 people showing up, and then sometimes two or three people showing up in a meetup. It was just, again, it wasn't intended to be anything big, but by adding just essentially free value to the attendees, word of mouth started spreading. A lot more people started attending, and now we have about 7,500 people on our Facebook community. Not a dollar spent on advertising, just like referrals and people joining. And that's really what it is, right? And like, even that's how I approach my mortgage business, that's how I approach my investing business. Like, all of my businesses is just like, throw out as much free value as possible. And then in return, you're going to get positive energy. You're going to get clients. You're going to get positive feedback along the way. It's not going to be instantaneous, but it, along the way, you're going to meet some pretty great people.
Yeah, it's kind of it's been the mantra just in general with buying group. And funny enough, I just realized I'm looking at the thing behind me. And, you know, we still stand by that. We are in the people business. We just happen to do mortgages. But more importantly, like, we're in the people business. And like you said, creating that free value, that free content is almost unique in our world sometimes. Because I feel like everyone's almost like, click here to get your free little snapshot. You got to give me something or you have to pay for this thing. Like, I've always been a big believer that even if I can't directly help my client, like, I'm not giving you the mortgage, I'm going to still give you the most honest, best advice I can give you, even if you're going to walk into the bank. Because sometimes I just can't get a deal done, especially in a world where rates have been going up. If you walked into your bank 3 months ago and locked in a rate, I probably can't beat the rate if that's important to you. And I'll be honest and tell them that. And I think that sort of honest advice, especially in a world where everyone's sort of competing for your business, creates such a huge trust with that individual. And I think they're going to remember, hey, you know what? Austin was really generous with his time. He gave me all this free resources and his advice. I want to send some folks to him and help him out. And I think that natural basic business principle, in my opinion, is what allows this organic growth or this grassroots like super growth that you've had, because you're just doing the right thing. And people are pretty good at sussing out, like, I'm not really too sure about this guy here. Yeah. I think he's trying to sell me something. So I love that you have this like almost very humble background, and you kind of threw yourself into a project by buying your first property. And that experience, I'm pretty sure, has allowed you the ability to kind of grow and set like higher objectives for yourself with the Rise Network, which is super impressive, man. Like, seriously, like, that's a big deal that you've been able to do that. And I think these hardships are what, you know, I think everything happens for a reason, personally. I think, right, you know, me walking out of the office right now, tripping over, probably has some ultimate reason. You know, maybe I tripped because that was a 5-second delay in me getting to the car or whatever, and I could have got hit or whatever. So I always think in those terms, like, I don't get upset when bad things happen throughout the day. I just think, look, this was supposed to happen. Let me just move forward. Otherwise, I overanalyze everything. And I love that all these little things that might be perceived as like massive challenges to some people and prohibitive, like, I'll never do what Austin's doing because I have this super blue collar background, and you know, I'll never be able to do that. But you've done it. In fact, my background is similar, like blue collar. And I've known a lot of people who've come from that environment and just gave themselves a very big picture and being able to achieve those things. So like, I love that, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to that point, I love that you asked me how I got started off, because I had a Toronto Life article come out, I think it was like 2020 or 2021, and everyone immediately said parents money, my parents funded me. It's like, dude, my parents, like, I not to brag, but I have more money than my parents now, right? Like, they couldn't fund me. They could not fund me. They're scratching to make ends meet, right? And I didn't come from wealth. I just sort of had to build myself up from scratch.
And I see, the funny thing is, I feel like you can always tell a little bit when someone comes from more of a humble background, because I find that generally they're humble individuals, regardless of their success, regardless of how much wealth or assets they've accumulated or whatever accomplishments, I find that they're generally very humble because they remember like what life was like before having all these things. Right. And I find that not in always cases, but individuals that maybe have had a little bit more access to money, opportunities and connections, again, not always, but I find they're generally a little bit less willing to be very humble, because it's almost like, this is just normal. This is how it's always been. Mm-hmm. The expectations are always been like this. So, you know, that was kind of something that really connected when we first spoke, man. Any last thoughts? I did have one other question though, but any sort of other things you want to throw out, or any tidbits of insight on your journey and advice for people that may feel like, hey man, the interest rates are so high. You know, I'm having a really hard time right now. Like, you know, what sort of advice you have to sort of realign someone's mindset in the current environment?
Right. Yeah, I find that there's a lot of, I guess I'll speak from an investor point of view, because I started off investing before going into mortgages, and just the conversations that I have day to day with investors. A lot of people who I chat with, they're a little bit nervous in taking action because they're worried that prices may potentially drop. They're worried about when rate cuts are going to be, higher interest rate environment. How I'll look at it is this, like everything in real estate from an investment point of view boils down to numbers. Not everything, but a large chunk of it is going to boil down to the numerical part. If you're able to make your numbers work and be cash flow positive, meaning that your rent is able to service all of your expenses, including your mortgage, property management, insurance, et cetera, then really a property price is drop in half. It doesn't matter because you're not needed to sell the property. I held my assets throughout like the dips in prices, and I wasn't worried at all because they were cash flow positive. So it didn't really impact me as much. And now we're at probably going to, it seems like the highest point in the rate cycle, right? We're probably not going to see rates go any higher than this. Hopefully alleviate this year, we'll see. But that being said, if the numbers check out today, more than likely the numbers are probably going to look better 2, 3, 4 years down the line when rates continue to ease off. So that's just my 2 cents. You can always look at the negative, but there are always opportunities. And I don't want to say this again, as I don't want people to misconstrue this as like, oh, this is a sales thing, right? Like, no, like I, in 2022, from I think it was October to November, which keep in mind, that was like peak fear, I would say, October, November 2022, while rates were continuing to climb. I picked
there was
up
no three. End. We were like 10%, or here we come. Like there was no end to where rates could have gone.
No really one knew. Point. There was no certainty in anything because rates were continuing to climb. I purchased 3 properties at that time. I had some insane conditions in there, conditions you wouldn't imagine, right? And it was conditions that really protected my downside. People were thinking I was crazy, closed on them. And then actually I flipped one of them in 3 months. The market recovered early 2023. And then I sold it for $100,000 more, but net after I did a little bit of things to it, net I made like 50 or 60,000 on it in like 3 or 4 months because the market recovered. Another one, it appraised, got all of my money out in like 3-4 months. And the last one, it appraised, we got most of our money out, right? Like there's, yeah, I am, what I'm saying are things that I take action on. So there are opportunities in any market condition. You can make excuses or you can be the one that sort of, you know, thinks outside the box and look at things from the brighter side.
So basically the big takeaway is just take action. There's always gonna be a risk. Take action, you know, get yourself out there. You know, there's never any positive outcome without taking any sort of action.
Take calculated risk, calculated action, not just going.
You're right. Anything, but that's a good point. Sort of calculated action, but once you've assessed it, just go for it. I want to ask you one last thing. I don't know if you could even cover it in like maybe like a minute or so, but you've got a bit of a couple of tips on maximizing credit card points that I think you had mentioned at one point.
Right.
any tips, man? Anything you want to sort of end with or any kind of thoughts?
Yeah, so just to give some background, I love credit card points. I sent my parents on an all basically expenses trip to Italy. That was my mom's dream, to visit the Vatican, all through credit card points. Booked my first business flight class through credit card points. Like how I've been able to accumulate it is like using the bonus reward system. So like the Aeroplan system, there are credit cards like TD Bank, CIBC, Amex, where if you hit a certain minimum spend, you get massive bonus reward points. So one of them that I'm working through right now is the Amex Platinum card. If you hit 15K spend in 5 months, and keep in mind, if you buy that's a lot of money, but if you buy a property, if you're going through a renovation, if you're buying furniture, you got to plan your expenses, right? But if you're able to plan your expenses with getting you credit cards and you're able to hit minimum spend, you'll get a ton of points. So for that Amex one, I'm getting 90,000 points. That is enough to book a one-way business class flight to, I don't know, Japan or Taiwan. And that would be valued at, that's how I booked my business class flight. That is valued at, that one-way flight to Taiwan was about $7,000 or $8,000 one way, but I just did it through collecting the credit card points. So it's all about like, knowing your spend, what you're going to spend money on in the next 2, 3, 4 months, right? And then finding a credit card that has bonus Aeroplan points, getting approved for that, hitting the minimum spend, and then continuing to recycle that around. That's like the high level strategy. If you guys want to reach out to me, the game gets much deeper than that.
That's what I wanted to kind of lead on. So like, look, not only are you going to get like a whole bunch of amazing mortgage advice, help plan, you know, your real estate journey if you haven't already gotten there, or maybe just saw a mentor to kind of push you to take that risk. You're also getting some insights on how to maximize the credit card system and get on a first class flight out to somewhere pretty cool, man.
Yeah, and you want to build a lifestyle that you enjoy, right? I use real estate as a means to get financial freedom and to enjoy my life, investing in particular. So the byproduct of that is I'm able to travel for free. So love it.
that's kind of the goal, is like never think too small, you know, put yourself, create the life that you want. And right. Hey man, I appreciate you taking some time in, sharing some thoughts and be a little vulnerable about your experience and your journey. Please connect with Austin. Thanks again, man, for your time. And we'll chat soon, dude.
Appreciate it.